can't from us around. Everybody loves that smooth sound. Radio Rad Sparta means WHCO.
Horror folks on the go, it's 1-2-3-0.
That's WHCO. We love to have you with us. We want you all to know you're welcome on WHCO. Randolph County Radio.
From Rio Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
Good morning, 927. I'm Jeff. This is The People Speak. Hope your day's going well so far. On this nice fall morning here, we've got Paul Shimpin with us. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Jeff. Thanks for having me. Always glad to come in and talk with you.
And it's always good to have you. And I know your schedule's pretty busy, so it's kind of like...
Well, today is going to be a day that I've got a lot of driving time. There's a candidate forum up in Peoria this evening, so that'll be about a three-hour drive from Waterloo. I'll need to head up there early afternoon and then going to come back tonight after the forum wraps up. So it's definitely probably a total of about 8 hours worth of driving today. Yeah, it is great to be in. Looking forward to talking with you this morning about the Virginia governor election that that took place last week, and that's kind of had some results that have been reverberating all around the country. And then we did have a couple weeks ago the Illinois General Assembly had its veto session, which had some pretty lousy legislation that went through during that. So looking forward to having a discussion this morning about those topics.
All right, I'll tell you what, we've got a break here. Let's take that. We'll come back and get started. You're listening to The People Speak on Real Country 1230, 97.3 WHCO. Again, talking with Paul Shemp this morning. Mentioned a few things. One thing you mentioned, we'll go ahead and start off with this one, is the Virginia governor's race. I know you've talked throughout the time that you've been coming on here about schools, parents' rights in the school system, and a lot of talk out there now that was the premise behind Glenn Youngkin's campaign.
The result in Virginia was tremendous for Republicans, not only in Virginia, but nationwide as well. It was a great night for every Republican in the United States a week ago. I thought it was especially phenomenal for our campaign as well, because it really validated one of the points that we have been talking about. Really as a state senator, so going back my entire career as a state senator, I've always been somebody that has said I want to have local control of education. I think parents being able to interact with the school boards that they elect and are able to hold accountable, I think that is one of the secrets to good government. As a state senator, there were a lot of times that probably my trademark phrase, if I had to have one, as my 4 years as a state senator, was me standing up and saying, look, we in the Illinois Senate are not, nor should we be, a 59-member school board. We need to leave some of these decisions to local school boards and superintendents, parents, because the amount of mandates that we were passing was just making it impossible for parents to have control of their kids' education. So that was something that I've been on the record on really since 2017. And then back in June of this past year, our campaign put out a proposed Illinois Parents Bill of Rights that really is just kind of premised on the idea that it should be parents, not the government, that have the ability to determine their kids' education, health care, and maturation into adulthood. So we put that out at the beginning of June, and I've been saying since then that this is the issue that will win the November 2022 general election for us, because that idea that parents make those decisions, that's not a Republican belief, that's an American belief. And that's something that can unify the people of Illinois. That's something that can get us a lot of crossover votes, that can flip a lot of people that would ordinarily vote Democrat. So we've been pushing that issue. Unfortunately, some of the leadership in the Republican Party has been reluctant to embrace it. They've said, no, we just, you know, Republicans, we only run on taxes. Don't, you know, don't talk about that. Well, the Virginia governor election really validated what we were saying, because the parents' rights issue became a huge issue in that race. And if you believe the exit polling, I think it was the number two issue. The number one issue was the economy, which is, you know, we're all suffering from the, you know, Biden's, you know, destruction of our economy right now. But parents' rights was right there as a huge issue. And honestly, the if the Democrat, Terry McAuliffe, had not made a really boneheaded statement where, you know, at like the final candidate forum about a month out from the election, he said, I don't think that parents have any business telling school boards what to teach. If he didn't make that statement, I think he's the governor-elect right now. But he made that statement. Then you had a school board in Loudoun County, Virginia, that was trying to cover up a sexual assault that took place. So parents got fed up. And that issue of parents' rights really was, in my opinion, that was the decisive issue in that Virginia governor's race. And the Republican, you know, won. It was a clear victory. You know, Virginia is a kind of a blue state at this point. Joe Biden had won Virginia by 10 points in the presidential election. I think the final tally was about a 2.5 or a 3 point victory for the Republican, Glenn Youngkin. And it really, parents' rights did play a decisive role, and it will play a decisive role in Illinois. So we're going to continue talking about that. We're going to continue pushing the idea for a parents' bill of rights. Our state senator here, who took my place in the Illinois Senate, my friend Terry Bryant, filed a constitutional amendment that she and I collaborated on to amend the Illinois Constitution. Senate Joint Constitutional Amendment Resolution 12. And it basically says that the right of parents to determine their kids' education and health care shall not be infringed. That's something that really every single senator, Republican or Democrat, ought to be on that. Because I think at this point, we need to make it clear in the Illinois Constitution, there needs to be a reset, and there needs to be an understanding that it is parents, not the government, that have the primary responsibility for their kids.
What I hear people talking about kind of goes back to the old, as they used to say, you send your kids to school to learn reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Right. People don't want their kids to be politically indoctrinated. They want their kids taught how to think, not what to think. And that's the big distinction.
It's positive, you know, outlook there, you know. I mean, it just kind of validates what we've known all along, what people are thinking, you know, that what their concerns are.
Well, and I think the thing that the Republican candidate, Governor-elect Youngkin, did successfully was he talked about the issues that unite people, not the issues that divide people. And ultimately, that's how you win elections. I mean, winning elections is not about getting your base to scream loudly and shake their fist. It's about getting the undecided suburban voters. And in that Virginia race, Glenn Youngkin didn't win the suburban counties in the D.C. area, but he cut down the margins and made it much closer. He got a lot of crossover votes. So that's what we're doing in Illinois. You know, if you are looking for a burn it down candidate, you know, who is just not going to even try to bring people together, I'm not your governor candidate. You need to look for somebody else. I am going to be a leader who can unite our state. I think that even though there are some areas that we have very sharp disagreements on, there is still ground that can unite all the people of Illinois. I think the idea that parents should have the ability to determine their kids' education, health care, and maturity into adulthood, that's an issue that unites us. I think the idea that people are tired of a government that taxes in a predatory manner, I think that is going to be an issue that unites all of us. And I think the issue that, you know, we want our cities, communities, and streets to be safe. So support for law enforcement, support for basically bringing people together and trying to do something about the level of violence that is out of control. I think that's going to unite all of us. And I'm the only person running with a prosecutor background. That's something where I have credibility on this issue. And I'm going to be able to bring people together and figure out how we can give our law enforcement community the support that they need in order to keep our communities safe.
Right.
One of the issues that we're going to see that a lot of people ask me about too is they're like, you know, what can be done about crime, not only in Chicago, but in all of Illinois? And really, this is something where J.B. Pritzker, you know, has failed. I've talked about the Pritzker leadership deficit. I mean, what you have to have is you have to put a governor, you know, who is going to put his credibility on the line and take responsibility. When I am governor, I'm going to say, look, the amount of violence that we are seeing in the Chicago region and throughout the state is unacceptable. And if I cannot bring people together, come up with solutions, and significantly decrease the amount of violence that people are seeing, I'm going to hold myself accountable and not run for re-election. This is something where J.B. Pritzker has been largely missing in action on this. Even some of the Democratic representatives have been calling him out for not being personally involved. I mean, the reality is we need a governor who is standing on the street corner and showing his physical support for our law enforcement community that's putting, you know, our law enforcement community puts their lives on the line every day for us. As governor, I'm going to make it crystal clear that I have their back and that I appreciate what they are doing, and I'm going to give them the tools that they need to keep us safe.
Exactly. Most people really, unless you've worked in the field, really don't know what they face on a daily basis.
No, and one of the things that was a huge, you know, something that I didn't realize either until I was a state senator was, you know, not only are, you know, our police and sheriffs, you know, but it's also our corrections officers have a, you know, have a tremendously dangerous and stressful job as well. You know, I lump them into, you know, our first responder law enforcement community because they are keeping us safe, you know, and they have an extremely dangerous, stressful job. So this is something, you know, I think the people of Illinois don't agree with, you know, the prevailing media narrative that says that our law enforcement system is racist. You know, I know it's not perfect. You know, nothing in our society is perfect. We can always improve, and we always need to strive to improve. But we need to also have the perspective to understand that the overwhelming majority, 99.9% of the interactions between our law enforcement community and civilians go the way that they should. And we need to remember that.
We got another break here. Let's go ahead and throw that in real quick here. And we'll come back and talk some more with Paul Schimpf here this morning on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this, talking today with Paul Schimpf. And we got some time left in the program today and talking about some of the different things. Obviously, the Virginia governor's race was big. And the theme behind theirs is exactly a lot of the, you know, I mean, your theory as well as far as parents' rights. And,
it is, and it's entertaining now to see other Republican candidates and elected officials throughout the country and in Illinois now starting to talk about parents' rights. And it's funny because we've been talking about that for a long time, and our focus on that has been validated. But all the other people that are joining in, I'm like, hey, you know, I welcome that, because that is the issue that needs to be discussed. And you know, this election is bigger than any candidate or campaign, and we really, the Republican Party, needs to get back to focusing on protecting the rights of parents. So I'm definitely I'm happy to see that some of my fellow candidates are joining this messaging effort. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times voters used to say, oh, you know, the candidates are all the same, it doesn't make any difference. J.B. Pritzker, though, has said that he will sign, you know, this atrocious legislation that was passed out of veto session. And you really can't have a much bigger difference between J.B. Pritzker and myself in terms of our political philosophy and, you know, and our backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there were just three pretty atrocious pieces of legislation that came out of the veto session. You had a modification of the Illinois Healthcare Right of Conscience Act, which, you know, I would have voted no if I was a senator, and I would certainly veto it if I was governor. Same thing with the repeal of the parental notification requirement for abortions on minor children. There used to be a law on the books in Illinois saying that before an abortionist was going to perform an abortion on a minor child, that he or she had to notify that girl's parents. Not even both of them, just one of them. And that has now been taken off the books. I think that's terrible, and that's another assault on the ability of parents to look out for the welfare of their kids. And then the last thing that was Another terrible law that was passed is the Democrats, you know, drew the new congressional maps. They basically gerrymandered the heck out of it. They're shooting for trying to have districts that will favor Democrats in 14 of the 17 congressional districts that we have in Illinois. We're now down to 17 districts because of our loss of population, and the Democrats drew these wildly gerrymandered maps that they think are going to be able to allow them to take 14 out of the 17 congressional seats in Illinois. I think that they've overreached. I think that if I'm at the top of the ticket running as the Republican governor candidate, I think we're going to take 6 or 7 of them, and it will be a Republican wave. We have to realize that the Pritzker strategy is going to be spend probably $100 million to demonize whoever comes out of the Republican primary. He's going to try to follow the strategy that Gavin Newsom followed in California, where they demonized the Republican who was running in the recall election. You know, sometimes it's easier to do that than others. One of the things that, you know, I tell people is, look, you know, I've been vetted. There are no skeletons in my closet. I know how to appeal to voters, you know, without saying inflammatory things that are going to give ammunition to the other side. So if you want somebody that's going to be able to survive that coming $100 million character assassination, I'm your guy.
You know, one of the things that is very important to me when I look at a candidate running for office is, do I believe I can trust them? Do I believe what they're telling me is fact, that they are being honest? If I don't feel comfortable with what they're saying, then I am not going to support or vote for that candidate. I think honesty is very important, and while many would say in politics, honesty doesn't exist, well, honestly, I believe it does. Maybe not at the level that it should, but there are honest candidates out there. There are honest office holders out there. They're just few and far between, and that needs to change.
Well, I really try to, and this is the Marine Corps culture in me still, but I'm of the school that your word is your bond, you know, and you don't say stuff that is not accurate. Every vote that I've taken, I can defend, you know, everything in my background. For instance, the Saddam trial, you know, I make it a point to make it clear to people that, look, I was the American attorney advisor to the Iraqi prosecutors. I was not a person that was jumping up and down saying, I object. You know, it's something where you have to be very careful with what you say, and you have to tell people stuff that is correct. And the reason that's important is because one of J.B. Pritzker's huge vulnerabilities is that he has lost the trust of the people of Illinois. You know, he has made some very high profile statements, and then he has gone against them. He said that he would not support a new congressional and legislative map drawn by politicians. He wanted it done by an independent commission. But then what did he do? When it was the Democratic politicians who drew the new legislative map, he signed that. You know, and people realize that. So that was a case of him making a promise to the people of Illinois when he was a candidate, and he just flat out ignored it. So everybody, I think, realizes at this point in Illinois that all the promises that J.B. Pritzker makes have expiration dates. That's not a good thing. But if you're going to be able to take advantage of that as a Republican, you have to be sure that you're being absolutely honest and accurate with people as well. So you can't be misstating your qualifications. You can't be misstating, you know, the results of legal cases. You have to be 100% accurate with the people of Illinois if you're going to be able to take advantage of Pritzker's credibility deficit that he has.
It looks like we're just about out of time, but any final thoughts?
I want to actually close by wishing, you know, my fellow Marines a happy birthday one day early. Today is the 9th. Tomorrow is the 10th. That's the Marine Corps birthday. So the Marine Corps is 246 years old. You know, we don't look a day over 245, but, you know, so happy birthday, Marines. And then I also want to thank all the veterans for their service. And that includes you, Jeff. Thank you for your service. Veterans Day is on Thursday. I think we need to, I think one of the things that we need to realize with honoring our veterans is too often people act like people serve our country because, you know, they want an education or they want, you know, job training or just out of options. And that's not true. I mean, military service brings some benefits. You know, nobody's going to deny that. But the bottom line is veterans serve their country because they believed that this country was worth fighting and dying for. You know, and if we, you know, want to truly honor them, we need to realize why they made the sacrifices that they did. It's because they believe that we, their family, their friends, their community, and their country are the greatest country on the face of the planet, and that our country is worth fighting and dying for. So thank you so much to all of our veterans for your service.
All right. Well, that'll pretty well wrap things up here, but thanks for being with us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Always enjoy speaking with you. Thanks for having me on.
So, and we'll talk to you again in next month.
Sounds good.
For the People Speak, I'm Jeff. We will talk to you again tomorrow. Have a great day.